Welcome to the Sadler Lectures podcast. Responding to popular demand, I'm converting my philosophy videos into sound files you can listen to anywhere you can take an MP3. If you like what you hear and want to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. I hope you enjoy this lecture. Early on in his essay, The Myth of Sisyphus, Albert Camus is going to begin using language of affectivity and emotion. He's going to talk about the absurd as registered in affective or emotional ways, using the terms that are translated as feeling and passion. Now, feeling is sentiment in French. He's also going to use the word emotion very briefly, and then passion is just the same cognate passion. So there's this entire language of the affective that is running through this. And that's an important component of the absurd. It's not just a thought or a cognition. It has to do with how we feel and our feelings, at least in respect to the world, although they can be, you know, off base or wrong, they are just as real as our thoughts. They are just as real a way of engaging reality, or at least what we take to be reality, as our mental constructs. So he's going to talk very early on about what he calls an incalculable feeling that deprives the mind of the sleep necessary to life. And this is in the discussion about, you know, suicide. He says that a world that can be explained even with bad reasons is a familiar world, but on the other hand, in a universe suddenly divested of illusions and lights, man feels an alien, a stranger. His exile is without remedy, since he's deprived of the memory of a lost home or the hope of a promised land. And he says, this divorce between man and his life, the actor and his setting, is properly the feeling of absurdity. So this is a feeling, a sentiment, that can arise for us at any point in time. And Camus will give us a number of different examples of how that might happen. Before we look at that, there's another important passage where he tells us a little bit more about feelings and how they play a role. And this is at the beginning of the Absurd Walls section. He tells us that not all feelings, but deep feelings or great feelings, he says, always mean more than they are conscious of saying. There's always more to any mood, any fundamental affectivity, than that feeling can express or that the person feeling it can genuinely register. And it doesn't matter how much journaling you do or how much emotional intelligence you possess, there's always going to be this extra to it. And that's something of the very nature of emotion, passion, feeling, affectivity. This is not a radically new doctrine in the history of philosophy. You'll see Thomas Aquinas, for example, saying something quite similar about the will and how the will and the emotions are more attached to reality in some respects than our cognitions. So it's not just absurdist thinkers who portray feeling in this way. Camus goes on and he tells us some really interesting things here. He says that great feelings take with them their own universe, splendid or abject. They light up with their passion an exclusive world in which they recognize their climate. So a feeling, which involves a passion, brings an entire world with it. We experience the world in part through our feelings. And there are layers or dimensions to the world that we're really only going to get in contact with when we feel things certain ways. He gives you examples here. He says, there is a universe of jealousy, a universe of ambition, a universe of selfishness or of generosity. Every person feeling these emotions, and we might say there's a universe of rage, there's a universe of joy or bliss, there's a universe of sorrow or depression, there's a universe of anxiety. Each of these brings its own not just coloring to the world, but reveals features of the world that we otherwise might miss. Absurdity will be one of those feelings. He goes on and he says, what does a universe actually mean? The universe, he says, is, in other words, a metaphysic and an attitude of mind. So what do we mean by a metaphysic? Camus is not delving deep into systematic metaphysics here, but he's just pointing out the fact that every feeling commits us to a certain kind of reality behind the appearances. Think about the universe of jealousy, for example, right? An innocent text message is revealed as not being what it is on the surface in its appearances, just the text exchange, but really the confession of infidelity and love for another on the part of, say, one's spouse or boyfriend or girlfriend. The universe of joy takes things that would otherwise be rather boring and unimportant and says, there is something really wonderful here, right? That's a metaphysics. And he also says an attitude of mind. The word there for mind is esprit, right? So it's not just a mental cognitive attitude. It's also a sort of general approach to things. A universe for a human being involves those. It's a way of understanding and being in the world. Now, he has another thing that he says that's very interesting here in this same section. We're often not quite aware of our own feelings, right? He says that we can analyze them, and we can also analyze other people's feelings as well. So he says, it's probably true that a man remains forever unknown to us, and there is in him something irreducible that escapes us. We're all sort of our own closed-off systems. As a matter of fact, we don't even completely know what's going on in ourselves. But if we observe people over time, he says, practically I know men and recognize them by their behavior, by the totality of their deeds, by the consequences caused in life, by their present. And he says, likewise, all those irrational feelings which offer no purchase to analysis, I can define them practically, appreciate them practically by gathering together the sum of their consequences in the domain of the intelligence, seizing and noting all their aspects by outlining their universe. I can understand what feelings like joy, anger, sadness, frustration, boredom, I can understand what these are by looking at how they affect us practically and how that gives us a sort of penetration into our own psyches and those of others. We can also do this with that of absurdity. So he says that, he goes down a little bit further, and he says, there is a lower key of feelings inaccessible in the heart. Isn't that a wonderful way to talk about it? Not just that there's the conflict between the heart and the head, you know, or reason in the heart. Even the heart doesn't fully understand what's going on in it. And yet those feelings are there. So there's this lower key, he says, of feelings inaccessible in the heart, but partially disclosed by the acts they imply and the attitudes of mind they assume. So I might, for example, come to realize that I really am feeling anger, even though I can't let myself feel that anger cognitively or affectively. It's still there within me, right? Or, to use Camus' focus here, absurdity. And he tells us in this very same passage, at any street corner, the feeling of absurdity can strike any man in the face, as it is in its distressing nudity, in its light without effulgence, it is elusive. But it happens to us over and over and over again. And he gives all sorts of examples of this, how we encounter absurdity in the world. I'll just talk about a few of these. He says, it happens the stage sets collapse, rising streetcar 4 hours in the office or the factory, meal, streetcar 4 hours of work, meal, sleep, and Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. According to the same rhythm, this path is easily followed. Most of the time, we get into these routines where we're doing this, we have it on our calendar, we go to our courses as we're supposed to. And then he says, but one day the why arises and everything begins in that weariness tinged with amazement. Weariness comes at the end of the acts of a mechanical life, but at the same time it inaugurates the impulse of consciousness, it awakens consciousness and provokes what follows. And he says that this is one way that we can have the feeling of absurdity rise out of that lower key of feelings that we're feeling all the time and appear to us as something that we now do, in fact, feel. He gives other examples as well, you know, our relation to time, the horror that might seize us about time, perceiving that the world is dense, sensing to what degree a stone is foreign and irreducible to us, the inhuman that we secrete as human beings, he says, at certain moments of lucidity. We could go on and on and on to talk about this with examples. And the examples that he gives us are not meant to exhaust it. Now, what happens once we have this experience of the absurd and the feeling has actually arisen within us? He tells us, from the moment absurdity is recognized, it becomes a passion, something that can motivate us, something that can be there driving us. And he says of this passion that it is the most harrowing, that's how it's translated here, of all. Now, the French is a little bit more straightforward, déchirant, you know, to déchirer is to tear apart, right? If I tear apart my, let's say I'm, you know, a pro wrestler and I rip my shirt open, roar, I'm going to get in the ring and beat you up or something like that. I have torn my shirt apart. I haven't torn myself apart, but a feeling, a passion can in fact be something that does tear us apart. Think about great rage. Think about great love and infatuation. Think about the anguish that you feel deciding about your future and the future of others. All those sorts of things. The absurd can become even more harrowing. Harrowing in the sense of digging a furrow into us or something along those lines. It reveals conflict within our very hearts, within our psyche. So once this becomes this harrowing passion, right, more than any other, he says, there's a question that arises for us. He says, whether or not one can live with one's passions, whether or not one can accept their law, which is to burn the heart they simultaneously exalt, that is the whole question. Now notice that this question is being raised in an intellectual way within the course of a philosophical essay, but in a way that we can affectively or emotionally connect with. We can say, oh yeah, man, I know what that's like. Or I can at least imagine what it would be like to have that experience. The affective dimension is incredibly important when it comes to our encounter with and what we respond or what we make of the absurd for Albert Camus. Special thanks to all of my Patreon supporters for making this podcast possible. You can find me on Twitter at Philosopher70, on YouTube at the Gregory B. Sadler channel, and on Facebook on the Gregory B. Sadler page. Once again, to support my work, go to patreon.com/Sadler. Above all, keep studying these great philosophical works.